Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The summer's hot, but the show is even hotter. Welcome back to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, that's just came back from meeting Russian Putin, whatever his name is, Vladimir, whatever. I have the one and only.
The one that doesn't collude, Sean Black, in the building once again in the mood. Hey, I had to get a rhyme in there, so there you go.
Okay, you know the expression, don't quit your day job, don't quit your day,
or the night job,
okay? Just leave that alone. Okay. All right, the number for questions, thoughts, or comments, or just to tell us like it is 347-989-8402. This is where I yawn again. Oh, my gosh.
My goodness.
347-989-8402. Sean Black, are you ready to put some people to sleep?
Well, if it pisses them off, then why not?
Okay. All right. So many things happened today in the last couple of days. Well, first, I want to address something. So I always start off with a laugh, excuse me. Last week, in Forbes magazine announced that Kylie Jenner, the part of the Kardashian family that Sean and I can't stand so much, she's 20 years old, and she's on her way. In a couple of years, by the time she turns 21, they said, she will be her network, her cosmetic business, will worth almost $1 billion. Right now, she's estimating net worth of $900 million. By the time she turns 21 next year, her company will be worth $1 billion. That will make her one of the youngest, or maybe the youngest, billionaire of all time. Hot Rod, why are you telling us this? We don't care. I know you don't care, Hot Rod. Sean Black doesn't care. We're not related to her. True. But number one, they label her as self-made billionaire. Sean, knowing her background a little bit, do you believe that she's a self-made billionaire? Before I get to the next question.
To some degree, but in the sense of the word of being self-made, not quite. I'm sure she has some business acumen. She has some sort of mindset for the business based on she's tapped into the current market of what people are looking for in her age group for her cosmetics and the makeup and all of that. She knows fashion, being a Kardashian, having the mindset of being on television since she was young. So she has her mind that she knows exactly what her market and the demographics are for her product. From that sense,
Well, you know, people tell me that her cosmetics, they'd be flying off the shelves every week. And like, they come out with new products, and they'd be selling it like hotcakes. You and I would not know these things. Even though I have a daughter, thank God she's too young right now to know these things. But by the time she realizes what's going on.
Your day is coming.
But another person who uses cosmetics all the time, because she likes to take, trust me, she's a queen of selfie pictures on social media. Tisha's on the line right now. Tisha?
I'm not really a queen of self pictures, but please.
Oh.
What's up, y'all?
My goodness. You sound like you just woke up, Mas.
I actually did.
Yeah. See, I knew it. Okay. But back to Sean Black, to Kylie Jenner. I think the reason why I brought this subject up is because of part two of Kylie Jenner. Yes, like I said, she's about to be a billionaire soon, the next year or so. Right now, as we speak, there's a GoFundMe page for people to donate money to Kylie Jenner with, once again, her net worth is a $900 million. So people are donating money to her so she can reach a billion. Huh. Where should I go from there? Sean Black, I give it to you first.
Okay. Let me go into beast mode on this one. I have a problem, a very big problem, with the media from this sense. When we always talk about celebrities and we talk about what their priorities are, the priorities of the media is obviously cover entertainment, cover the pulse of current events, politics, etc. Kylie Jenner is a Kardashian, which falls in the entertainment realm, so we can understand that. She's making millions and millions and millions of dollars. As you just stated, she's going to be a billionaire, probably by the end of this year. I wouldn't be surprised. You're going to sit here and tell me that our society, that their priorities are so skewed that they would actually set up a GoFundMe page to give free money to a person who, let's really be honest, could really give a damn about you, really does not necessarily need you money-wise, and you are going to give of your free will money to a 20-year-old who is going to be a billionaire. That's like me setting up a GoFundMe page to raise money for Donald Trump, and you know that's not going to happen. This is the same female. If we remember Kylie Jenner, just last summer, we talked about this on the show, about that tone-deaf Pepsi ad where she was basically trivializing Black Lives Matter by having a protest in a commercial and having her hand off Pepsis to the cops, and then the cops just start dancing around and letting her pass through in that commercial. This is the same Kylie Jenner we're talking about here. So if we're in this situation and we're talking about giving money to a celebrity who really does not need it because she's going to get it anyway, think of it like this. Is she going to return any of that money to any people that you know of? Is she going to put any of that money back into your college fund or give any of that money into your community? Maybe she has a celebrity charity or something along those lines, whatever. But that's not the main point of this rant. The main point of this rant, as Hot Rod always brings up, and I always bring up and we talk about every week, is that the priority is always about the celebrity or what they're doing and these kinds of things. But, you know, there are still people in Flint, Michigan who don't have real good drinking water. There are still people that are dying of cancer from these bug sprays that these companies like Monsanto have made that they're actually going in and having people sue them over. There's still people that don't have adequate housing. We still have immigration going on where people are being ripped from their families and children that haven't been reunited. So, folks, before you get on that high hope of, you know, social media, and you go on and say, oh, I'm going to donate this. She's a young girl. She's a talented person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Put your money where your mouth is and put it somewhere where it's actually going to go into. Maybe you could start a fund in her name to a charity. That makes much more sense than giving your money to her just for the sake of letting her get to some fictitious dollar amount to make yourselves happy. What makes no sense to me? But I digress.
Keisha?
And it goes to show, once again, the power of marketing. So we're pretty much paying for Kylie Jenner's name and the Kardashians' name to once again, you know, ring bells again, pretty much. We have our priorities all messed up.
And I think that's why I brought this up, because funny that you mentioned it. Right now, a little personal story. I do have a GoFundMe page for my cousin who passed away last week. Because, you know, a cousin's wife, a mother of two kids, you know, you hear these stories all the time. They need help, you know. Well, do you think a free straight will give a cousin help, you know, to help raise her family in the near future? People will not care for that type of stuff. Well, I don't know this person. Why should I help them? Well, yet, but those are the same people that will give rich people money. And that does not make sense at all.
No, it doesn't. I've actually seen GoFundMe pages that people have set up online where they're trying to You can understand, oh, you know, I have a child who has special needs, and I need a GoFundMe page to get a special wheelchair or to get a particular special type of fan to travel. Those kinds of things I can understand. I've actually seen GoFundMe pages with people going online and asking, you know what, I need to get myself a dress because I want to go to this particular dance, and I don't have the money to go ahead and get this. Not for a prom, not for the child's, you know, graduation or anything like that. No, just to go online and for lack of a better phrasing, beg for money online. And if you give a good enough sob story, some people, depending on what the story is, will believe it and acquiesce to it and give the money to that person. So our society has really have a skew. Like what you spoke about with your cousin, and my condolences go to you and the family. The idea behind the GoFundMe pages for certain things like that, businesses trying to get funding, people in a tight spot, those kinds of things. That makes sense. But when you're trying to give away free money, and for what reason, maybe to appease your own self, whatever, I really don't understand the thought process.
Well, okay. Let's change it around a little bit. Let's say it was a black woman that's doing this. Would you think black people would donate money like this towards a black woman or a black man trying to make that person into a billionaire?
9 times out of 10, no. And that's the sad part about that. That's the indictment on the priority, the whole tenor of this entire discussion, is because we see a lot of people, when you break certain things down in particular groups of people, their priorities within that group are on certain things within the community, within a particular religion, within whatever their thought process is going in. In the instance that you just brought up, I would be hard-pressed to actually think that unless this was for an actual great cause, if it was for the same thing that you... Let's say Nicki Minaj, just for argument's sake, put up a GoFundMe page for this exact same reason, or not even her, somebody in her name put that up for her. Do you think that that would happen?
No. Well,
it's possible.
It's possible. I like to say nobody yet. You know, once again, people are just stupid. I'm sorry to say this. I was going right down to it. People are just that stupid to fall for this, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
people come up with more ways to make their own lives better by falling for a lot of the low-hanging fruit that is out there in society when it comes to entertainers. And the sad part about this is you're going to get a lot of these young people, like in their early 20s, maybe teenagers that might have a little disposable income or might have their first job, like their summer job or their first credit card, et cetera. And they like, you know, Nicki Minaj, or they would like Kylie Jenner, or they like somebody in that mindset. And they will have no compunction at all to giving away their money to somebody that, let's really be honest, doesn't need it, instead of taking that same money and putting it in a charity like for diabetes research or for cancer or for something along those lines, and won't understand what's going on, or things that have happened in Darfur or other places where you would think the money would be much better placed, as opposed to giving it to some sort of a celebrity who's trying to get to some fictitious plateau of money to look better in a magazine. That makes no sense.
Okay, before I go to the next topic, Tisha, Sean and I, we talked this many times before, but do you personally believe in charities and donations?
Yeah, it depends on what it's for and where it's going to. Like, you know, what you're just talking about with Kylie Jenner and everything, I could understand if maybe she's going to raise, you know, a certain amount and then she's going to donate it to certain things that need the money. But she's not doing that. And once again, we're falling victim for this whole Kardashian scheme that they built an empire on, you know, pretty much sucking people into them. Didn't she make it off of a sex tape with Ray J? I don't see Ray J as famous as her right now, other than for one thing that he did, but, I mean, that's about it. But,
you just brought up a great point, and that's something that I brought up with Hot Rod off air earlier this afternoon, is the fact that the Kardashian empire was started, for the most part, off of the Kardashian sex team. Reggie Bush, Ray J, sex tapes. Think of all of the people that have been in relationships with these Kardashian women, and that has not ended good, if you think about it, in that sense. We've had Kylie Jenner and whatever the name of the boyfriend it was with. You have Khloe and the many relationships, high-profile relationships, athletes, celebrities, whatever. Kim Kardashian, previous relationships didn't work out up until the Kanye West marriage. And she's had, three children now? That seems to have worked for the most part. But you're seeing the pattern here.
What's the pattern? Piggybacking on the black man?
I'm just saying. I have to give the Kardashians credit on this. You need to spend money to make money. Yes, they are famous for doing nothing, but at least they took the money that they made of doing nothing and made a business out of it and made investments out of it. Not a lot of people could say that. And you talk about a billion-dollar family right now, you know. Kylie Jenner, I mean, yes, I won't say she's a self-made billionaire, but she took that money and look, at 20 years old, does she have to work? No. But she's doing something with it. And as the rest of the sisters, they all making something out of it. Do I give them credit? Only on that they invested their money. For a big, I have someone on the line right now who's a big Kim Kardashian fan, K-Dog.
My goodness. What's up, everybody?
What's going on?
Oh, boy. Well, here we go again with the Kardashians. What can we say about the Kardashians that hasn't been said already?
Well, you can say all you want about the drama. The bottom line, they're rich and they're making great amount of money.
No, you're right.
Like Sean told me this morning, think about it. That show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, has been on for over 10 years, maybe 15 years. Who would have thought that?
Oh, you're right about that.
But I would never thought that. Why you want to sit at home watching rich people with a rich problem?
I mean, this is the thing, like, you know, with society today, they're very much obsessed with that. I mean, everybody lives in a, let's just say, reality TV show world. You understand what I'm saying? So people find that entertaining.
True. But like Sean told me this morning, and I think you guys could relate, back then, if you curse your mother, have a fight with your mother, you know damn well she will kick you out the house. But these reality rich people problems, they have fight with their parents, then they go out and drink some martinis or have a coffee break at Starbucks or whatever and still come back home.
And it'll all be recorded on TV and they will all get ratings and get paid for it.
For the sense of marketing, yeah.
So I'm not upset with them. I just find that once again our priorities are all screwed up. And let me go to the next one. Talk about priorities. Another segment of the white people calling on black people for nonsense. I swear, this is like one of those stupid trending stories that seems like it's not going away no time soon. This past weekend at a CVS drugstore, Sean sent me the story yesterday. A woman was using a coupon, and the manager claimed that was a fake coupon. And basically, bottom line, yes, ladies and gentlemen, he called a cop. Yes, it was a white manager that called a cop.
Goodness gracious, here we go again.
But the funny thing about this story is, while she was recording the manager calling the cop, the manager was shaking so much, so he was scared for his life. Now, the reason why I brought this story up, because I would like the people to know how stupid this trending thing is becoming. Oh, white people calling the cops on black people to doing nothing overall. And, Sean, what was the statement you told me this morning that I agree 100%?
I'll get, as I stated before, if this was the case in any other time, we know that, first of all, we're seeing more of this uptick of it because of the fact that it's being recorded. But if we're starting to see these same kind of things happen, and I said that I have a fear of this happening, and I said this might happen by the end of the year, something is going to happen. Because somebody is going to get killed by one of these instances. And we talked about that a little earlier. I'm scared because somebody is going to do something so stupid. Cops are going to get called in. Something is going to happen. And somebody is going to die. And I don't want this to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I would not be surprised if this actually happens because it seems like we're getting to this point. The police officers that are getting involved in this nonsense, they're starting to wisen up and they're saying, what is the point of us doing this? Why are we?
Exactly.
If you're going to call a false police report, for the most part, a false report is illegal. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it's a misdemeanor. When we start seeing these kinds of things happen, the police need to start arresting people, like what happened last week when we brought up on the show about the two white girls, the two white women that called the police on the Hispanic couple from across the street from them and cursing them out and saying all kinds of stuff. You don't belong in our country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just mind-boggling and scary because we don't know. Whether you're African-American, whether you're a minority in this country or not, you do not know what the next firecracker will be. You don't know what the blasting cap is that will detonate the dynamite. And that's the hardest part about this whole thing.
And to add on, let's be honest. When a white man, when a black person see a cop coming, the black person will be scared for their life. And sometimes an altercation
exactly.
might happen. An altercation might lead to arrest or being shot. And as you know, this one, Tisha will be saying, here come Black Lives Matter out again and protest. I just don't know what's left to say. Till next week, on another segment of white person calling on a black person for no reason at all. It is very, very mind-boggling how society is, you know, there's a trending going on right now. And people are brainwashed into this type of trending, you know. It's like, this has never happened before, in my opinion, as much compared to now. But I guess because media is portraying it so much, we can't help it but to see it on TV, on social media. Other people's doing it too. No.
Yes, why aren't higher-uppers taking a look at it from that standpoint and trying to put, you know, certain laws against it? What are they going to wait for? God forbid somebody gets killed because of it or someone gets injured because of this, you know?
Because, you know what? I hope, like someone told me, this person that won the Democratic Party, the 20-year-old girl, I don't know her name, but from Bronx, either from the Bronx or the Queens, they hope that she's a chasing factor into politics. Because, as Cato said many times, you want change, start from the local office. We need younger people, and we need more braver
yes,
people
we do.
To step up and change these things. Because these things keep happening over and over for no reason. Like Sean says, it should be against the law to call the cops for this type of
thing. It should be.
Because you're wasting valuable time while this crime, real crime is being happened. Cops is coming over because someone used their socks in the pool. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, the CVS managers were fired. But that was like a no-brainer, you know?
Of course.
If CVS had kept them, that would be a whole different whoopla.
Yeah, people would have been protesting against CVS.
Oh,
not
yes,
buying
they
things from there. So I need my things from CVS, so that's a good look.
And this is like a whole entire sub sub-conversation within this society now, where we weren't talking about this as intently 2 or 3 years ago. When we first started doing this show back in 2015, we were talking about race, but not to this extent. We were mostly talking about cop shootings. We talked about those kinds of things, which were happening, and it was happening at a really sad pace. But now we're talking about not only cop shootings, but we're also talking about the white people that are the ones that have the malice in their heart or just have that fear of African Americans and that fear of any minority wielding what little power they think they have left to try to gain an advantage over somebody and doing it because of that fear. And that's the sad subtext of this entire conversation. As I said before, I think something is, God forbid, happens, but I would not be surprised if you heard on the news somebody was killed over this kind of nonsense.
Well, okay, I want to go back a little bit to T-Show question last week. What the hell is that? Somebody's dying in the sink or something. The T-Show question last week. Tisha asked us on the air before we left, why do men cheat? And you know what? I look into it. And the number one reason, I mean, there's different reasons. I'm not saying cheating is the right thing. And we all agree both men and women cheat, and both men and women cheat for different reasons. But the main reason why men cheat, but men think they could get away with it, is power and control. Do you believe that, Tisha?
Also for their ego and immaturity, very immature. But, yeah, still believe it's the power. You have different types of cheaters. You have, like, let's say the narcissist type cheater. You have the cheater that's just going out there for their one-night stand, their fling to prove, you know, they still have it. Or maybe they may not have it with their mate, but they might have it with somebody else. I don't know. You guys on the panel. Let's ask you guys.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You know
cheater.
What it is.
Go ahead,
no,
cheater.
Let me just add something. It's out of boredom.
What do you
I'm
mean by that?
I'm gonna tell you what it is. Okay. You see how some guys are. The problem is that, you know, when you're with somebody, you can never feel satisfied, whether sexually or physically, you know, whether sexually or mentally. People could never be satisfied with just one partner. You know, some guys are like this, hey, man, I got to have more than one, you know, oh, I love my girl to death, but yet I got to have my chick on the side to make the relationship work better. You understand what I'm saying with that one?
But the relationship has to be single and have as much coochie as you can have.
Can I explain it as clearly as possible?
Oh, okay. Before you continue, K-Dog, remember, this is your own grave that you're digging. Sean and I have nothing to do with this. Go ahead.
Own grave. I'm not digging my own grave. This goes for both the men and this goes for both the women.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of pure boredom. Some people are just natural cheaters regardless. And you know what? They could be in a very good relationship and still manage to mess it up by messing around. You know, it's like this. People cannot be satisfied, you know, no matter what.
I agree with that. I agree. People cannot be satisfied, yes. You need more than one partner. But I'm still trying to understand the boredom part of this conversation.
Okay, the boredom part is this. Like, let's just say, boredom in everything. Like, let's just say they're with the person, and which I feel that if you're not happy, if you feel that this person's boring, then why the hell are you with them? Now, if they go ahead and go out with someone else, that person may have something that the other person doesn't have. You know, whether it is sexual or mentally. Like, let's just say, oh, man, like for a guy, they'll feel like, oh, you know what? I can't talk to my girl or wife. But yet when I talk to the other woman, she hears me.
Okay.
Oh,
and that's only going to be sorry to say, that's only going to be short-lived due to the fact that at a certain point he won't be able to talk to her just like how he used to. So it seems like that sounds like a have your cake and eat it too factor.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is exactly wrong. Let's just be single and mingle.
It is.
It is.
Because you know what? Listen, if you know, and here's my advice on everything that I want to just say. I just want to put it out there. If you know that you are not going to be faithful to this person, then don't get into a relationship. And some guys, and I've heard them talk, say this. Like in the barbershop, I've heard them say it many times. Oh, but you know what? You got to let a woman know what it is. You know, you let her know from jump what it is. And in my mind, I'm like, what the hell do you mean you got to let her know what it is? Oh, that I'm not good, that I'm going to have other women regardless. I'm like, no right-thinking person is going to allow that.
Well, that's called an open relationship. If you tell the woman, we always say communication is part of the key. If you tell a woman, like, listen, Tisha, I love you, blah, 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 but I like to date other women. And it's Tisha's decision is either to say, screw you, I'm out, or try to work with it and see how it goes. It does happen.
Or work with it, and I'm going to let you know I'm going to be with other guys if that's the case, too, and see how you like it. Your feelings might get hurt, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
you're right
and
about that.
We discussed this many times that open relationship is very tricky. It works, but it doesn't work overall, and it could mess up in the long term. But talking about another cheater, Sean Black, what's your intake before I go about my egoness?
That's good work. I think there are a lot of factors. Not every most men that are out there that cheat, they cheat in reasons because, like it's been alluded to before, some people think they can cheat and just get away with it because of the situation.
Right.
Some people do it because that's how they were raised. Let's say they have a father figure or an older brother or somebody, and they saw that as being normal. So that behavior pattern passed down to them. Well, you know, daddy used to do such and such, or my brother used to do that. I used to see my cousin do such and such. That's the way I always see it. I thought that's normal. You have that aspect. But also, if you're going to go to the emotional part of it, there are a lot of men that don't have that emotional tie to what a relationship is supposed to be. There are a lot of selfish guys out there that all they care about is the testosterone running around in their scrotum. But at the same time, there are a lot of good guys out there that also go out there and are looking for the same things that we imagine women are looking for. Women cheat as much as men. I think that's been pretty much documented, especially now. And it is now because we're in a situation where women are now much more comfortable in being who they are and what they want, knowing what they want, and putting it out there. Not every male or every female puts what they have out there in the open and are honest about that. And then you have the emotional cheaters, which are people that are not necessarily going to cheat, but then there's something missing in the relationship, so they seek that emotional connection elsewhere. Whether that emotional connection leads to a physical situation or not, that's irregardless. But if there's something that you think is there in the relationship and it's not, and whether it's male or female, goes in there and looks for something that they can't get at home, like the coworker or the friend that they've known, or et cetera, those kinds of things tend to happen, and it tends to happen a lot. We see a lot of TV shows, interviews, and talk shows of people going through this all the time. But it's the problem is now that it's happening in this era where now we have an open-mindedness in relationships. It's no longer the stereotype of women are emotional and men just want the physical. It's not always about that, and it's not as black and white as we see it, because both of these variables work for either males and females. The issue is now, how do we recognize what the issue is, how do we solve it, and can it be done in a way that's respectful for both the male and the female without it turning into some sort of a shouting match or war or whatever? Because I've seen some ugly stuff happen between the sexes, and it just gets crazy.
Am I in?
Yes, you're in. You're in, caller.
Okay, my name's Joe.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey. I was listening to, I guess he's the co-host. I agree with about 98% of what you're saying. One thing that's very curious for me is to find out how, because you were describing that there are people who, since childhood, would be immersed in troublesome, toxic relationships, maybe having been treated badly by their mother or their father, and perhaps, who knows, I'm now extrapolating from what you said. Maybe they were treated badly by their first love. That's all they know, so therefore they continue that particular syndrome. I'm curious about that because I've always asked myself. Now, there are some psychologists who will agree with you. I talked to a psychologist who had a show a few years ago, and she said that when people are in those kind of relationships, that kind of relationship leaves an imprint on the neural network, and as a result, they're always trying to solve that particular daddy-mommy issue. Now, that's a Freudian aspect, but I always ask myself, I don't get it. Why are people, when they know that they're going to be or are in a toxic relationship for like a week or so, I don't understand why they just don't get out of it. I understand people who have low self-esteem can't get out of it, but I don't understand why the normal person just says, you know what, yeah, he's a bad boy, he's kind of attractive, or yeah, she's pretty, but she's kind of mysterious, but my past experiences have taught me, don't stay with them, and yet they do.
Oh, I'll give you a perfect
answer.
Hold on.
I'm first.
No, wait a minute.
So,
you know what
I'm
it
first.
Is?
K-Dog.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. But to answer the gentleman's question, Joe, part of it, I believe, is, of course, we all know fear, low self-esteem. And probably some people are in denial, I believe. Some people are just in denial that they know they're in a bad relationship, but they're in denial about it, or they believe there's still hope that, you know, things could turn around. We all know people that there's always hope. Yeah, he did this, he did that, or she did this, but there's still a chance, you know, we could turn it around. Because that person that was lead of not being alone, in my opinion. Now you could go, K-Dog.
Okay, and the problem is, like I said, like the fear of being alone. I was thinking about that the other day when I heard about this topic, and I'm like, man, why are you afraid of being alone? You know, why are you afraid of being alone? And the thing is, they feel that, oh, if they're not with this person, if they're not staying with this person, and despite the fact that the person is treating them like crap, they still with the person. It is, and you know, why do you stay with this person? It's fear of being alone. Like they can't find, they believe that they can't find no other person, and that is due to no self-esteem.
Let me. Are you anybody else? Because I like to answer both.
Sure. Yeah, I was just going to say really quick.
Go ahead.
Oh, that.
No, teacher, you go first. Then Sean.
Oh, I was just going to say, at times it doesn't have to deal with low self-esteem or high self-esteem. It also has to deal with the person thinking they can rescue that person, they can change them, and they're patient during the relationship thinking, okay, I can change this person. Before you start realizing that you need to change yourself and your way of thinking, it can get toxic. So I don't think it so much has to do with self-esteem. I think it has to do with that rescue thing.
Yeah.
Sean?
Yeah, there are a lot of people, especially, and I've seen this in a lot of women because I've heard a lot of conversations that women have amongst other women, and one of the things that they say is, you get into this relationship, well, he's a good-looking guy, he's this, he's that, and everything else. I can change him. All we need is to get him away from this, but to get him away from that. Let me show him how I do things, and he won't think that way. If I give him as much sex as he wants, or if I cook the food that he likes, or if I buy him nice things, I will change him from that. And then for a lot of males go into that thought process is, this is the one. This is not going to be like so-and-so before. This isn't going to be like the one that happened 3 years ago. This is the one. And they build that into their mind. She's a gorgeous person. She does this. She does that. But, and it's that but part that's the problem for a lot of males. Because if they get to the point where this person is in a good relationship, there's got to be some reason where the other shoe is going to drop. And in that sense, that's where a lot of the almost maybe something will happen. And for a lot of females, it happens because of that hero syndrome that we heard. I can change him. I can make him different. And then in a lot of instances, that's why a lot of people get married, because they think marriage will change her, marriage will change him, without dealing with the systematic issues within the two and trying to make that into a relationship. And when you don't address that, relationships go right down the toilet, and then you have the guy cheating, the female cheating, and then it's all chaos all the time.
Okay, and to Joe, before when you see people in toxic relationships, as a friend, do you interfere and tell them as it is, or you try to stay out of it overall? Because let's be honest, nobody's relationship is perfect, so we don't know what's really toxic or not. We may think we know, but overall, we might not know. Joe?
And what's your question?
Do you get involved in other people's toxic relationships?
No. I don't. I mind my own business. I had an aunt which gave me some sage advice years ago, and it was with regards to my family. She said, if you ever caught anybody in the family ever cheating on their spouse, don't say anything. And I said, okay. Because, number one, if you do, like using that as an example, if you caught your cousin or your brother, et cetera, cheating, or they've been cheated on, if you go to them, they're not going to like the fact that you found out first before them. You knew about it. They didn't. They also don't want to hear bad news. Now, you're also going to get your head handed to you if you don't go to them. But it's a lesser consequence.
But
so,
you got to pick your poison. Either you tell them or you don't tell
them.
Yeah. But you get in trouble. You get in trouble either way.
Oh, true. Definitely catch-22.
It is. Let me answer the three premises you guys posed. Being lonely. I think ugly girls or ugly guys have that kind of problem. They know that if they give up this particular relationship, it's going to take months, if not years, to find one that's the equivalent. I think if you think about this, if a girl is an 8, 9, or a 10, is she really going to have problems getting a guy? No.
They will. And you know the reason why? Because in the person's mind, either they don't feel that there are 8, 9, or 10, and then they're always wondering if the person that they're going with is only in it for just how they look.
Well, that's
so it's actually, in a lot of instances, worse if you are an 8, 9, or 10 than if you were a 1, 2, 3, or 4, whatever number you would place on.
My heart does not go out to them if they're that. That goes back to self-esteem. If you're an 8, 9, or 10, and you know it, that I've only met a few women who were really good-looking and didn't know they were good-looking. Most women know it because the guys will be looking at them when they're walking down the street, when they go to a club, they're being approached all the time, and it's not because they have a PhD on their forehead. It's because they have 36 D's on their chest. So they know they're good looking.
But that can go for ugly women, too. Something that you said, if you're pretty or if you're ugly, I don't think it has anything to do with being pretty or ugly. You have ugly girls that have high self-esteem, that may have their master's degree, great job. Men are attracted to that still. So I don't think it has so much to do. We keep saying self-esteem, self-esteem.
I don't know an ugly girl who has high self-esteem. I know an ugly girl who can walk around, conduct herself well. She may have a PhD. But you put her in a group of girls who are 8, 9s, and 10s, and they don't even have to have their master's, guess who the guys are going to go after?
Yes, and I agree with Joe 100%, because if you go by men, go by appearance first, then look at their PhD.
Yeah, we don't care about that other stuff. We want to know.
Some guys, as men,
that's the first thing we see is the way someone looks. It's like the look is like says it all.
And the women do the same thing. If you try to set up your cousin or your girlfriend or a friend with a guy, what's the first thing she's going to ask? number one is going to be either status or how he looks.
Uh-huh. And you know what? Tisha, here's a question for you. And you're surrounded by four men. Why is it in most relationships, when a woman do have a good guy, she find ways to destroy it and stick with the bad boy? And they have a bad boy that treat her like crap all the time. You've seen it. We all seen it. We know cases like this. And I ask females this all the time. Why is that in most cases? A female will love a bad boy or like to be treated like crap.
I don't think it has to do with the bad boy. I just think it has to do with the female or male's personality. Are we dealing with a narcissist? Are we dealing with a person with low self-esteem? What are we dealing with here? Are we dealing with a person who transitioned themselves back into high school where they need to change and go find that bad boy? Like, I think it's based on that person. We have to look into the person's mind a little bit deeper.
But you said...
Go ahead, Joe.
You provided two components there. Self-esteem and the transition. The woman wants to change the man, and the self-esteem issue, which, Tisha, I think you said you didn't put much stock in that. I happen to put a lot of stock in the self-esteem. But the thing is, yeah, you want to change them, but why do you want to change the bad boys? And going back to the host question, you know, there are girls who will have a slew of guys coming after them. They will pick the bad boys. If they have a slew of good guys who will treat them right, they will not want them. They will give them up, get into their car, drive across town to get beat by the guy they call the jerk.
And then they come back and complain to us about, or complain to other females about it. Now, wait a minute. We all make mistakes, granted. But why do you keep going back to that same mistake?
That's what I'm talking about as far as that narcissistic drive. You're even not even being narcissistic. Your self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you keep going back to that? It's now you have to start checking yourself a little bit more.
That's my question when I first got on the line. It's a puzzle to me. Why? Because
you
see, I can understand once or twice.
You have men.
You're getting.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. You're getting wrapped up in the moment. You don't have experience, okay? Three times maybe. But come on, five, six, seven times. Don't you learn? I've learned.
Okay, now you also have men, right?
In the same
sense of your question that you asked, Cheryl, you also have men
mm-hmm.
who have good women but continuously go back
That's
to these hoes that
That's
are in the street.
Too.
It
yes.
is the same true. Thing. Now we have to all check our behavior. Some of us don't take a second to check ourselves.
True,
so we continue
to
do the same thing over and over. It's like a repetitive cycle.
I agree,
mm-hmm.
but before I go to K-Dog, I think men go after the girls. You know, once again, it's all that control and power of the sex drive compared to a woman getting beat up by a guy and getting treated like crap. Men just go cheap for that sex drive for some of the reasons. Yes, K-Dog. Yes, Sean.
You know, and it's becoming a problem because you know what it is? It's like, some women and some men do it too. If you first have to understand who you are as a person. First, you know, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. If you're looking for that love, the first person that you should be loving is yourself. Find time to love yourself first before you can ask anybody to love you, because if you don't first love yourself, if you're looking for someone to love you, then everything else is going to fall apart. And you know what? People are going to, you know, let's just say they're going to take advantage of your weakness because they see that you have no love for self. They see that you're just looking for love. So you know what? The person that you're with is going to use it to their advantage, no matter what.
Who?
Okay, Sean. Well, I have to give this to Sean. Sean, right now you can profess that you love me. And what's your input about that?
As I said before, I don't do requests. Anyway, as been alluded to, what a lot of people have the thought process being, in relationships, a lot of those behaviors are learned, but also at the same time, as you get older and you get those experiences, you kind of cherry pick what works for you based on what you're comfortable with. And it's always a lot of that same mentality for a lot of guys. He who dies
right.
with the most toys wins. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of guys
okay.
out there that think the whole entire world is about conquering as many women as humanly possible before they get their eyes closed.
Yeah, ask Bill Cosby about that. Ask Bill Cosby about that one. Oh, go ahead.
No, Bill Cosby was an exception. I mean, that guy.
Yeah.
For him to have used drugs when he was already a celebrity, what kind of man is that? That's different than, you know, how do you, you know, I can see a loser using, a date rape drug, because you're a loser. But when you're Bill Cosby, and you're a celebrity, and you're loved around the world, you're Mr. Jello, and you have to use a date rape drug, that's, something's wrong there.
But here's the crazy part is that,
if
you think about it, even with that celebrity thought process, who's to say that even though he could have gotten any woman he wanted just by snapping his finger, who's to say in the back of his mind, and him being a psychologist and all the other stuff, that maybe he had low self-esteem himself?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not using that as an excuse for him doing anything of what he did, but that's the archetype that a lot of people don't realize falls into place. You can be the most successful, well-loved, bachelor-type celebrity and still have an inferiority complex that you think you need to use drugs on somebody to get sex. And that's
okay.
Sad.
Yeah, especially.
Okay, in today's crazy society, especially with the young kids, do you think these young kids today are still looking for true love, or just looking for a partner to settle down with for the time being to have their fun? Joe?
I think everybody's looking for true love, but how we're conditioned to find it is very important. The millennials today may not know, because they don't have the traditional type of conditioning that I was infused with. So they're probably thinking about maybe not even settling down, which is, to me, not a bad thing. But the other caller on, and he was talking about self-esteem and, loving yourself. You really do have to love yourself first. You have to respect yourself. You have to make sure you have boundaries. I was on your show before. I don't know if we talked about this, but I'm kind of refresh my memory if I was. Did I ever talk about how if you're really going to get into a relationship, you sit down and you write out what your boundaries are?
Yes. I remember.
Joe from Montana, right?
That comes from my experience of doing it over and over again and saying, you know what, this cycle just doesn't work. So I think let's do this. Let's try to break the cycle.
Tisha, do you think
I know what your question, Hot Rod, and it goes back into the cheating. I know a little 24-year-old girl who just found out that the guy was married that she was dealing with, found out, said she's not going to deal with him. Then all of a sudden she says, oh, my gosh, I'm in love with him. So the wife says, since you know now, I thought, you know, you wouldn't want to be with him. But she's like, oh, well, I'm young. I could get anybody I want, but I'm still going to be with him. I'm in love with him. So which one is it?
Wow.
So she goes, she wants to live her life, and if it works out with him, it works out. So it goes back to the cheating, where you're also putting the person's family in jeopardy if they have a kid and whatever the case may be, and you don't really care. So I think these millennials, whatever you call them.
I thought you were going to say whatever you call them,
they have no sense of character. They have no sense of integrity that maybe we were raised on. Okay, you find out he's married, I don't want to deal with him type of integrity. Yeah. And they don't have their self-esteem up there yet. So for 24, not to have that, I knew at 24 I was in college, almost finished, whatever the case may be. You know, you have some self-esteem and some sense of self. So you're not going to sell yourself that short. So I think they have no intentions of anything. They think life continues to go on. Who cares who they hurt? And that's that.
Okay, I have a quick story before I pass it to you guys. I have a friend. She was dating a guy, had a kid with him. Of course, he cheated on her, and maybe she was in a toxic relationship for a while. So she was seeing someone else while they both were cheating on each other. And then they broke up, the original couple, and she's with her side guy now, and doesn't find out that the side guy is cheating on her with somebody else.
Mm.
Isn't that how the story goes?
Karma comes back to haunt you, man.
Karma coming back. But at the same time, they broke up, got back together, broke up, back, got back together. And just like Joe said, I'm trying not to get involved too much. I just listen, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, you find out they cheated on you. Okay, no problem. But you got very upset. But you're still staying with them. And that's the one thing I never understand. You're crying, you're throwing a whole fit about it, but you're still staying with them. You're still staying with them. And he cheated on you, not just once. And now, like, a couple years later, again, he cheated on you back-to-back with the same girl. And guess what? It's the same girl that he's cheating on with was his ex-girlfriend. It sounds like a Jerry Springer story,
wow.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It sounds like a Jerry Springer, Maury Povich-type story.
Yeah. But it's like, and this is like, it comes down to the main question. Once again, why do people choose to stay in toxic relationships knowing the situation, especially when there's no kids involved? You know.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's one thing to have kids involved, but you just get on.
As a matter of fact, like I said, toxic relationships, and I said it before and I say it again, you choose it. If you know that this person is not good for you and you're staying in it, then you know what? Hey, it's your fault. You're suffering. And you know what? At a point, you can't really feel sorry for this person because you know what? This person chooses to stay in this relationship regardless.
I agree.
They're being treated like garbage, and you know what? They chose to stay in it. Misery loves company. Then spend the rest of your whole life, spend every day of your life being miserable with the person that you're with because you know what? Hey, this is what you chose.
You know,
I can't feel sorry for you.
But Joe, do you consider this as a sign of mental illness?
It is. It's emotional fragility. It's the lack of parenting. It's the societal mores telling us, guys, go out there and spread your seed. And the women, well, now you can open up your legs. But before, no. But they're still opening up their legs. So we have a lot of conflicting philosophies coming our way. But again, it's poor self-esteem because regardless of what we're taught, we still have to love ourselves. We still have to find out that we are the center of our universe. We are the president of our fate, our bodies. And to be involved in toxic relationships once, twice, three times, four times, and within those toxic relationships, to be either cheated on or treated badly three or four or five times per relationship, but then the caller was right. I don't know all your names, so I keep calling you caller. So everybody's a caller.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but he's right. You know, if you're choosing it, yeah, you choose it. And I empathize to a little degree, you know, because you really have to be brainwashed, have poor self-esteem, et cetera. But that also tells me, you know, it's your fault. You chose it. And, you know, you're worthy of empathy. But get the F away from me because I'm not going to be in your particular world of toxicity.
Okay.
Exactly.
Gerald said under being a psychopath, it also, psychology reasons, it also falls under something called narcissists. We don't have enough time to even discuss that, but there's certain traits that suck you right back in and creates that drama and things like that. So that's like something maybe for a next topic to research on this. Because that goes in even deeper, why people even stay into toxic relationships.
And trust me, I know about drama, but I deal with this drama for the last 20 years. Sean Black, finish it off.
So why are you still in it?
Oh, my goodness.
He can save everybody. He's got the hero complex.
Man, oh, man.
I think that what this all conversation boils down to, when we talk about, like, millennials and their thought process, is the fact that if we've heard that relationships, marriages, people aren't getting married as frequently as they once were. People are staying together, but cheating has gone up. So we're starting to see that people are staying in relationships, and a lot of that is fear of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to
like
be alone
I said
before. Going forward. And I think that when you boil everything down to what it really is, that we're all human beings trying to figure out what's going on. And in this era now where we have the Me Too movement going on, men are now trying to see how they fit in this new world where women are now finally being believed in a lot of instances of things that have happened, things that are going on, and they're being able to tell their truths about what has happened And then,
okay, Sean Black, as always, thank you so much. Joe,
nah, man.
Thank you. Keisha,
okay.
Thank you. K Dog, thank you. And Sean Black, go to hell. Thanks so much, guys.
I guess I hit a nerve.
Good night, everybody, and take care.
Good
thank
night,
you,
everyone.
It was all
stout.